Jeremiah 48, verse 11, that the Moabite people were at ease. They were at ease, and God came and shook them up so they could see. God wants us like Mari to be seers. There was another Amorite called Ishkal, cluster of grapes. God wants to provide for us. He wants to bless us. He wants to give us everything that we need to get the job done. Hallelujah. There was another Amorite that Abraham was in coalition with, Arnel. Get it right? Arnel. We're Scottish picks. We've never been defeated in warfare as a pick. But after a while, we're starting to get a hammering, and so we thought we'd get a coalition with the French. But the French always let you down. So we intermarried from O'Neill. We suddenly became Arnel. We got married in with the French. I got a little bit of French in me, a little bit of French flair. That's where the art comes from. Okay, so Arnel, A-N-E-L. We're talking about waterfalls. So Abraham's rocking in this mountain. He's rocking in this mountain area. There's a lot of blessing in this mountain area way up there. But he comes down off that mountain, and he takes out that king. And now the Lord is saying, hey, it's okay, fear not. I'm going to be your shield, your abundant compensation. What does shield mean? It means El Shaddai. What's El Shaddai mean? This is a very powerful word. God is revealing himself to Abraham, and God is a God of progressive revelation. The El means, in the Hebrew, I'm revealing my name progressively to you. I'm wanting you to go through experiences in life. I want to show you who I am. And as we find that in our Christianity, that God starts to reveal himself more and more and more intimately. I am Elohim, the Most High God. I am supreme. I am your complete. I want to possess every part of you, but I want to provide for you, Abraham. I want to provide for you in your life. I am El, the Most High God. It says in Revelation chapter 2, verse 17, that the hidden manna I will give you. That's why we need to seek God out. He will give us hidden manna. Our eyes will be opened up to the spiritual realm. We'll start to see clearly in life. We'll come out of the natural, and we live above the line into the eternal. So God wants to give us the hidden manna, revelation, open our eyes to understand the word. And he says there, I will give you a white stone. Now, in our culture, a white stone was given to someone qualified to be a warrior. All right? In the Scottish pick culture, as you qualified yourself from a little boy into a man at 15, you're given a white stone, but you had to prove yourself. And so God wants a proven people, a tested people, holy warriors who can stand in the warfare. The white stone, and the white stone gets whiter and whiter. In the Greek, it talks about progressive revelation as we press into God. God wants to give, hey, I want to show you who I am. I want to show you my power. I want to show you my glory. I want to put my nature through you. This is a journey of revelation. It's exciting as we get the white stone and we get to know more and more of God. So we get this El Shaddai. The word Shad, S-H-A-D in the Hebrew, means the breast. Oh my gosh, God's a woman. No, God's not a woman. God is showing us an expression of himself. The breast. A little baby is totally reliant on the breast of its mother for nurture, for warmth. And you, God is showing you, I am your total reliance. I am your provider. I am your shad. You suck the life out of me, literally. There's no life anywhere else. You will be greatly disappointed if you look to the world for life. You will not find life there. You will be disappointed. You will find death. But in me, there is life. Life. Whole life. Zoe life. I want to restore you. I want to heal you. And I want you to come into Paga. Paga, ooh, I like that word. Come into your calling, to come into who God has created you to be and not miss out at all. God has exciting plans for you. In Psalm 91, verse 1, look at that, quote to 12, and I'm on the same page. What the heck? We're not going to make it. He who dwells, El Shaddai. He says, he who dwells, I am El Shaddai in this word. I am the quiet, I'm the rest. In Psalm 23, verse 2, he makes me lie down in fresh, tender, green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. God wants his people quiet. He wants his people at rest. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, a war trumpet has been blown. We've been called into war, church. But in verse 6, before the throne, there's a sea of crystal, of jasper. It's pure. It's translucent. And that's a picture of our soul to be at rest before the throne. God wants us at rest. It doesn't matter what's happening on this planet. It doesn't matter what curveball life and the devil throws at you. He wants his people at rest. Why? Because in Romans 16, verse 20, the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet. And if you're going to be a dragon slayer, if you're going to be in the game, and Cormany, I'm going to teach you how to cast out demons. God told me, I'm going to teach you. And Percy Poe, I saw fire on you this morning. I saw a head of a lion, and I saw a rumble in the jungle. I saw a roar as that man was singing. Amen. The God of peace will crush Satan under your feet. If you're in trouble, if you are worried, if you are fretful, you will not be a demon slayer. God wants peace in you, and then you can come into the arena of fire to cast out demons and heal the sick. We need to be operating in peace. I will say of the Lord, in verse 2, Psalm 91, verse 2, he is my refuge and my fortress. He is my El Shaddai. That word is El Shaddai. My God, on him I lean and rely, and on him I confidently trust. You know, the Hebrew for leaning and lying on God is imaha. I like the Hebrew language. What's this English stuff? Who wrote this? Why don't they write it in the Hebrew and get the real picture of it? No, you've got to dig into it deep. Imaha. So where does imaha come from? Imaha, to lean, to trust on God. It's a beautiful picture. So we see that with Moses. Moses literally means the one drawn out of the river of death. We've all been drawn out of the river of death. And now he's got an issue. They've been at Marah, and they put the stick in because the waters of Marah, the people are thirsty. And he puts the stick in, which is a picture of Christ. And from bitter, Marah, bitter, it becomes sweet. But now they come after that. There's a warfare. There's a tribe called the Amalek tribe. Oh, the haughty look of doubt. That's what the Amalek demon, it's a demon, the haughty look of doubt. It will take you out. There are many young people who are not here today because they got taken out. They got taken out because the Amalek spirit, the evil, haughty one of doubt, brought them a boyfriend and a girlfriend. They're in here one day, they get saved, they're gone. The Amalek demon of doubt. It will bring in false doctrine. It'll bring in doubt. It'll get you to doubt your salvation. The Amalek spirit. It's an evil spirit that we need to deal with. So here's Moses in Exodus 17, 16. And they've got a situation where they're going to be in warfare with the Amalek demon. And he sat down on the rock. The word sat down, imaha. It means to lean. It means to rest. And as you lean and rest on the rock, Jesus Christ, the Hebrew says you become steady. You become steady. Hallelujah. I like that. You know, we can lean on him because we're in ourselves, we can't cope with life. But we can lean on that rock. We can rest on that rock. And as a result, we become steady. We become fixated on him. We become steady in our thoughts, in our life. To lean upon him. There were a couple, Gail was talking about Moses in Exodus 17 last week, about worship or something, but there was her supporting him. And who was her? Her literally means a man of righteous, noble character on fire. Woo! Reminds me of that Denzel Washington movie, Man on Fire. You see, I like movies where guys are staunch and not wimpy. He's a man on fire. He's excess. And he's looking after a little girl in Mexico. That's his job. He's a chauffeur. He takes her to school. And then she gets kidnapped, and he has to lay his life down. He dies so she can be set free. And we need to toughen up and die to this world and say no more, so we can be like her, a man of virtuous character on fire. I like that. The guy on the other side is Aaron, exalted mountain, exalted mountain. Wow. And, you know, God comes off his mountain in Psalm 18, verse 9. He comes down off his mountain because Abraham happened to be living on a mountain, Hebron, up there worshiping God. And he came down off his mountain and set Sodom Lot free because he'd been taken by Kunchandamir. And we need to realize that God comes down from the heavenly realm with his anointing. He brings his mountain down. It says it's a mountain of darkness, and then he crushes the enemy under his feet. Hallelujah. We need to be rocking in that anointing. We need to be moving in the mountain presence of God. It says that lightning is coming out of the darkness. Lightning bolts, fire. Hallelujah. That's the anointing of God. God wants us moving in that area. You see, I'm starting to find myself, the Peter Pan's starting to get shed off. And they were telling me, I was preaching up in South African church in Kaitaia a few years back, and they said, hey, you know who you are? No, I don't know who I am. I took Star up, and Star was interested in all the kai. He's eating, he's rocking out, he's having fun, and I'm busy preaching it up. I'm preaching up a storm, and I don't really know what I'm talking about. They said, you are a dragon slayer. You are called of God as an evangelist. And it's a little bit of Peter Pan being taken off. I've been living in Never Never Land. But now I'm starting to find my calling. God's starting to find people that prophesying on me and bringing me back into my calling. Amen. Monty, I was going over to Kirikiri to pick up a rental van. And on Friday, Monty's with me. And Monty's preaching hard out. And something's just jumping on in the inside of me, the Holy Spirit. I'm getting really excited. He's preaching, but I'm in God's land. But he's preaching hard out and driving, but God is speaking to me, and God is showing me things. And there's a guy, Nigel, down Horiki, and Ross knows him. We all know him. He's a little bit flaky, but he moves powerfully in the prophetic. And he said to me a few years back, I used to live in a shed, no power, and with a push bike. Woohoo, the great, great dragon slayer. Now God's on the journey, bringing me back. Okay, a couple of years back from then, Ken Bassett had come down. It was pouring of rain. I got the brazier going, having a few beers with my boy. And I heard the click of the gate, and Ken Bassett comes walking down the pathway and starts to prophesy on me. And I got this beer hidden behind my back. And Ken's saying, you're called, Doug, you're called. You're the man on fire. You're called up to the mid-north. And I'm going, oh, yeah, bro, yeah, yeah, sweet. And I'm like, you know, I'm half cut. And he's prophesying on me. And yeah, okay, if you know Ken Bassett, Ken was a founder here of the ministries in the church here way back in the 80s. And I really was enjoying what Gail was saying. Yeah, I was the little skinny white stick out there in Okaihau. But I will say that, I'm fearless. I'm not scared of anything, really. And particularly God had called me into that area. And we were ministering with Mongrel Mob, Black Power, but we start to see a real move of God, real move of God out there. And I remember down there was a coven of witches down in Horiki there, and they challenged me to a showdown. That's no problem. The funny thing was, the whole church was trying to talk me out of it. Don't do it, don't do it, back off, Doug. No, 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 no. They're all scared. I'm thinking, what are they? The only guy that backed me up that night was Winston Beachgood from Waima. And Winston was just a natural thug in the spirit and the natural. In those days, you know, as a pastor in the 80s, you know, we'd have trouble. Our wahine would be getting beaten up. I'd just seen Morris Bridgman, who was massive. He was a tight-head prop for King Country. And Winston ran, and they'd give that guy a hiding. So you muck around with our wahine in this church, you get a hiding. And that's the way we rocked back then. I had a situation where, I'm sidetracking now, Kathy Wehongi, oh, Doug, I've got a situation here. There's a guy, he's just beating his girlfriend up, black and blue. Can you come and sort it out? Yeah. Big mongrel mob guy. Ron Wehongi was there, Kamatua. And then this guy, this mongrel mob guy, hit Ron. And then I exploded. And I hit this. In 3 seconds, I'd broken his kneecap and broken his sternum. So when I was never scared in Okaiha. I'd been trained up in martial arts. But the thing was, when you become a born-again Christian, I still had those demons in me, those martial arts stuff. And that can make you do some really nasty things. So now I've got the mongrel mob, I've got a contract on me as a pastor. They're going to give me a massive hiding. And I'm going, like Abraham, I'm on the run. I'm on the, oh my gosh. And I wasn't listening to anyone, fear not. I'm now going to get me a hiding. But God sent along a guy, Boy Wehongi. And Boy Wehongi was like that wrestler, the Undertaker with the long hair. Nobody touched Boy Wehongi. And Boy Wehongi went into the snake pit, the bottom pit, pub. And he just said to this guy, you know, if you touch Doug, I'm going to break your wrists and I'm going to break your ankles. You're going to be deformed for life if you touch him because you hit my dad and you are so lucky to be alive. And so God's looking after me. Okay? So now I've got the mongrel mob. I'm walking down the street. And I got the mongrel mob on the other side, and I'm just singing Simply Red. I love red, I love red. Da, da, da. And I'm just mocking these guys. They can't touch me because I got backup. I got backup. I used to have backup from a guy, Eddie York. Eddie York would be, 6'7"? Just a monster. And what was he like? Worked in bodyguard pubs, beating up 6-7 guys at a time. Like, he's the biggest man I've ever seen. And I'd be walking down the street with him. Again, I've got protection. God's always protecting me. So I really got off this sermon. It's now 12 o'clock. And I haven't even... All Blacks. I got pressure on me. The All Black game starting right now, playing the Pumas. So... So we got, yeah, okay, so it's going to have to be a part two. The gift of righteousness. So Abraham needed to learn a lesson. He was really fixated with an heir. He wanted a child, and that was his big issue. So the gift of righteousness, is righteousness imparted or imputed? And that's the lesson he needed to learn. For a lot of us, righteousness is imparted. We feel if we behave ourselves, if we dress good, God will accept us. If we pay a tithe, if we perform, if we talk religious talk, we're accepted. So we become really good performers. I used to become a really good performer, especially I'd been a pastor for 10 years up here, and then I kind of went into a backslidden state, but I knew how to perform in a church. I knew the terminology. Oh, praise God, brother, how are you? And I knew Christians love to exalt themselves and talk about themselves and what the Lord had done. Oh, what's the Lord done in your life? And they'd blab on and on and on because that's what Christians love doing. That's the self, the religious self. And the Lord's given me this and the Lord's provided for me here. And it's all about me. Oh, and God, I love Jesus too. So I learned about this imparted righteousness that Christians love to do. But God was going to teach Abraham a lesson of imputed righteousness. If Abraham in Romans 4:2-3 was justified by good works, he had grounds for boasting. And he's a good man. The Bible tells us that he's an Ur of Chaldees in a land called Mesopotamia. And he's going around doing good stuff. He's not evading God at all. He's a sincere seeker of God, but he's worshipping a moon goddess. So he's in deception. And the Bible tells us in Romans 4:5, it talks about the God who justifies the wicked and the ungodly. So God was looking at Abraham as really, positionally, a wicked man. That's what he was. We all think of Father Abraham, a really good dude. He was positionally, at one stage, in Ur of Chaldees, he was wicked, he was ungodly. And Paul is pointing out that he was living wrong with God. You see, back there, in Romans 4:2, he's trying to justify himself and he had grounds for boasting, but as far as God was concerned, not before God. So he needed to come to a point of changing his way of looking at righteousness from good works, from being a good guy. It won't cut it. to imputed righteousness. Imputed righteousness means a free gift. And salvation is freely given. God freely gives us things. He wants to give us a lot of revelation. And like I said, reveal himself to us. It's through, not through good works. It's not through performing. It's not through coming through that door on a Sunday and being during the week a good person, wearing a white shirt. I'm wearing a purple shirt. This is an Italian shirt. This shirt's from Sicily. My boy used to rock with an Italian girl. Her dad run the mafia, the Lombardo family. Okay, so I've inherited an Italian, a little bit of Italian, and the jeans are Italian. The boots are from North Tech, and the socks are from the warehouse. Okay. So God wants to cover us with his imputed righteousness. We don't earn it. It's unmerited favor. And he'll normally come to us with an encounter. He says, okay, Abraham, in verse 5, Genesis 15, here's the encounter. God wants to encounter you. He encountered Moses. Moses, he kills a guy. He's a murderer. He puts him in the backside around a mountain for 40 years to be a shepherd. And then one day, his heart's starting to change. There's a rumble on the inside of Moses, and he's thinking, man, what am I called to do? What am I meant to be doing in life? And then suddenly there's a bush on fire. And suddenly the bush is talking. It's in a power encounter. I am. The Hebrew, I am. Malak. Malak. Ooh, I like, see, the Hebrew is a staunch language. Okay, Malak. It means I'm the takeover king. I want to take over you, and I want you to start to go into Egypt and speak my word and take over Egypt with signs and wonders and take my people out. And God wants you to have an encounter with Malak so he can come to you and take over you so you can take the enemy out in this town and set people free. He's the takeover king, Malak. He comes to Joshua in the twilight hours. Joshua's a little bit, I'm not too sure about this Jericho business. Here's this town, this city with massive high walls. How do I take it out? Suddenly the angel of the Lord appears to him. Whoa, dude, he's got a sword on. You look a pretty hot sort of fighter. Who are you? Where do you come from? Okay. Again, the angel says, I am Malak. I have come to take over you. Get down on your knees and give me your right shoe. God wants some of you to get on your knees today and give him the right shoe. The right shoe is ownership. You can't live your own life of self-reliance. He is El Shaddai. Okay? Give me your right shoe. I want ownership. If there was going to be a land deal done in the days of Israel, part of the deal, if I'm going to buy land off Monty, I give him my right shoe. Okay, that seals it. And so Malak, the angel of the Lord, is coming. He's a military commander. You have no idea how to take that city, Jericho. You don't have an idea, and nor do you. You have no idea how to take the enemy out in this town. But he does. And he's got exciting military war programs. Bow down. So Joshua gets down. He gives him his right shoe. He says, I have literally come as Malak to take over not only you, but I've come to take over your people, and I've come to take over that Canaanite and devil-infested city. I've come to take it over. And Malak has come 2,000 years ago, but he's here today to take over your life, to take the right shoe so that you can come into your calling. Hallelujah. That's exciting. You're all half asleep. You're not listening. It's all good. Hallelujah. So he says, by way of an encounter, he brings him into the oriental sky. And he goes, look up. I'm going to finish it. I'm going to wrap it up. And I'm not even halfway through. But we're going to wrap it up. Okay? I'm starting to get long-winded. I really want to go on. But I want to watch that All Black game too. No. He brings him out into the oriental sky. He says, look up there. What do you see? That's all good. It's all good. I see the oriental sky. I see a lot of stars. He goes, your descendants are going to be like that. Your descendants are going to be like that. And it says that Abraham believed. He had an encounter. He had a transformation. Because as he's looking up, God is saying in Galatians 3, chapter 3, verse 16, that as he looked up into the sky, he had a revelation of not seeds, little s, but seed, capital S. He saw Jesus Christ. It literally says in the Greek that he saw the incarnation of Jesus Christ. He saw the heavenly seed coming down into mankind and coming into the womb of a virgin in Judea. That's what Abraham saw. And that, because of that encounter and because of that believing, God's cutting a covenant with him. Hey, I like it. I like it. You're believing that I'm going to send a son into this earth for salvation. And I am now getting legally a right to come into the earth to do it. He's cutting a covenant with this guy. He's cutting a covenant. And we'll wrap it up in John 8:56. John 8:56. Jesus challenged the Pharisees about, I'm pretty sure it's John 8:56, about Abraham. You don't even know your father Abraham, because he saw my day. So he saw my day. He saw in the spiritual realm. He saw the seed coming down and incarnating into mankind. And anyway, Abraham, that's cool. He says, let's have a covenant. God says, we're going to make a covenant. We're going to establish a covenant between me and you, a blood covenant. And he says, go and gather some animals. Oh, okay. So he goes and gets these animals. He goes and gets an ox. He goes and gets a ram. He goes and gets a goat. He goes and gets a turtle dove and a pigeon. So he goes and gets these animals. But God doesn't say, he goes and cuts them in half, all right? Now, this is a bridal ceremony. So in the East, this is what they do for a bridal ceremony. I've got four daughters, and not as good looking as me, but I've got these four beautiful young wahine. You've seen them all, maybe not all of them, but it would be a real bummer if they all wanted to get married in the same month, because in the bridal ceremony, me as the father, and then the other father, okay, we've got to walk down, and they cut our wrists, and profusely blood is pouring out. So I wouldn't want my four daughters to get married in 1 month. Man, I'm gonna need a blood transfusion. But they put the halves of the animal there, so they halve the animal there and there. Okay, so I've got half an ox there, half an ox there, and then I'm half a sheep. Oh, sorry, half a goat, half a goat, half a ram, half a ram. And then I walk down to seal the covenant, to seal the marriage. But this particular case, God puts Abraham to sleep. You are not having a part to do with this covenant. Me, Elohim, are making a covenant with Elohim. Me, the Father, is making covenant with my Son. I'm the smoking oven, okay? And he's going to be the lit torch. I'm going to come down, and I'm making covenant with my Son to come into this earth legally. That's what God is doing, okay? This is not a Cheech and Chong movie up in smoke. This is a smoking oven. This is the oven coming along. And then afterwards, if you don't get taken out by the oven, and the oven is the cross, you are now, Romans 6:6, you are dead to this world. Jesus has deactivated the power of sin to the born-again Christian. When you are born again, in your spirit, your human spirit, is only the Trinity, is purity, is God. And God wants to break out. He wants to be the Hulk. He wants to break out in there, the Trinity, the power that created the universe, and come through into your soul and live his thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. Live his thoughts, live his power through you out into the world. And it says in the Hebrew language, aeon, A-Y-I-N, there is a tap between your human spirit and your soul. And that tap, the reason why the power isn't coming through, the reason why you're not being illuminated with life and illuminated with the word of God, is because the tap's dirty. I'm changing this message right around. I had some really powerful stuff in this message, particularly about blood covenants and that, but I've run out of time. It's okay, but the dirt needs to come out. The dirt that's deep in your soul, the residue that's deep down in the subconscious, subterranean areas of your soul. The Bible talks about Sheda, chambers deep down in there. God wants to bring his light into those rooms. And in life, you get from conception right through up till now, a lot of trauma can come. A lot of things can come and put darkness in those rooms. A lot of abuse, sexual, physical, emotional abuse can happen, and it puts a lie, it puts a demon into that room deep down there. And you put your head on the pillow, but in the subconscious realm, tick, 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 things are really running over quick. And Jesus came to liberate and to set you free. Because Abraham saw the day of the seed incarnating into a woman. And here the seed is now a man. And at the water Jordan, he is suddenly baptized by John to fulfill all righteousness. His ears are opened up. Literally in the Greek, he says, I can hear the cry of the people. Up until the age of 30, he's just a carpenter boy. He's a good boy, that Nazareth boy. But now at the age of 30, he's being baptized. This is my son whom I am well pleased. Huios, a proclaimer and a demonstrator. Huios, son, is a mature, a proclaimer and demonstrator of the power of God. Hallelujah. And that's what Jesus Christ does. So he comes to set people free, to get rid of the dirt. But the dirt, only you can get rid of the dirt. I need to say, Lord, I forgive that perpetrator. Lord, the things that happened to me, I got neglected as a child. I didn't get loved properly. I forgive my mum and dad. You come into release, and you start to, last scripture now, because I really wanted to talk in Genesis 15. It talks about these different tribes, seven of them, that are symbolic of evil spirits that can be deep in your subconscious, seven tribes. And I really wanted to preach on that, but maybe another time. But in Obadiah, and a bit like Jude, there's only one chapter, Obadiah verse 21, last chapter. Guys, get excited about the rugby game. You'll be there for the second half. Verse 21, he says that I have brought to Mount Zion saviors as judges. I have brought to Mount Zion saviors or deliverers as judges. That's powerful. To judge what? The mountain of Esau, the flesh, the ways of the world. God is not looking for good-looking guys who can teach wonderful things or women. Fill your head up with knowledge. He's looking for deliverers. Hey, Monty, he's looking for those anointed with fire. If there's one thing a demon hates, it's the fire of Jesus Christ. In Revelation 1:17, Jesus is in his glory. He's got the white gown on, the golden. I should have been in a white gown today. I got the woolly white hair. It talks about he's got woolly white hair. That's scriptural. So I've got the long woolly white hair. That's scriptural. He had the golden ladle across here. And there's the feet of brass of judgment, and his eyes are red. And in Revelation 1:17, he goes, hey, John, don't be afraid. It's me. It's okay. Give me a hug. That's what he's like. He's so approachable, so caring, so loving. It's okay. It's me. I was once dead. Now I'm alive. And I'm calling you, all my people, to be deliverers, Obadiah 21. I speak it unto you today in the name of Jesus Christ, that you would rise up into your place to be a deliverer, to be a healer, to be a restorer. The Corinthian church was full of teachers, but not fathers and not mothers. The world out there is hurting. I've got a group of 12 Napui students. One young darling girl tried to take her life 2 months ago. I've become a real dad figure. She never had a dad. She had an abusive dad. Dad's been in prison all his life. Mum's done a runner. They're unloved. They're uncared. That's my role. I'm a deliverer. I'm a healer. I'm a father figure they never had. They go, wow, you're such a great tutor. They don't understand. North Tech, they're full of nothing. They're full of nothing. That's what they are. That's the organization I work for. They don't understand the success up here. They go, how come Kaikoui is so successful? You're so successful because we have tutors that have been around the block. We have got tutors that heal, that want to restore, that are full of love. And this is what they need. Because as you heal people from trauma, they start learning. People will never learn if they're traumatized. And God wants you to come forward today. If you've been traumatized, Jesus Christ can set you free. Abraham saw the day of the seed incarnating into mankind. Hallelujah. He saw Genesis 3:15, where Jesus Christ stomped on the head of the devil. His power has been broken. In 1 John 3:8, Jesus came, and this is your mission, to destroy the works of the devil. The word destroy is luo, unemploy. Put them on the dole. We are the winds department. We are the ones to say, we're dictating the terms, and you are on the dole. You're evicted. We're the landlords. We're the ones in authority here. We're the ones to come into our calling. And like I said, Obadiah 21, look at it, meditate it. We're to be the deliverers, the saviors, the judges. You know what a judge does? A judge says, that's wrong. We curse the spirit of abortion. We curse the spirit of incest and violence against Wahine in this town, because we have that authority as a judge. A lot of Christians got themselves into deception. That I'm quoting from Psalm 82, verse 6. And a lot of Jesus spoke in John 10:34 that ye are gods. Well, we're not gods. But if you go back into the Hebrew, the word gods means we're judges. We have the right to curse. We have the right to bless. Okay? We have the right to curse abortion, incest, violence against Wahine in this town. We curse its operation in Jesus' name to shut down. We have that authority as a judge. And we have the authority as a judge to bless and restore and heal people and deliver in Jesus' name from demons and bring them into their right mind and thinking and bring them into their paga. Paga. That's your, know your paga, your inheritance. The tribes of Israel needed to know to cross the Jordan, the river of death, into their inheritance to take their land. They needed to know. This, the tribe of Dan, you had to go up the north, take your inheritance. But oh no, they're a bunch of girls. They started wandering off. They started going everywhere, partying up. And they ended up in Ireland and Scotland. And well, that's part of my whakapapa, the Danites. We're wanderers. We're pirates. We're fishermen. We love fishing. We love living in the bush. We've got that's my DNA, my whakapapa from the tribe of Dan, but they did a lot of bad, they were real big on idol worship, masonry and all that sort of thing. So we need to be set free from that stuff. Amen. Okay. We'll do part two tonight. No. But it's important to know the tribes that they had to get out. There were seven of them. They were not to make covenant with them. In Deuteronomy 7, verses 1 and 2, you're not to make covenant with these tribes. You are to disempower. You are to destroy them. And these tribes can be very much in our soul, in our subconscious. We need to be aware of them and how they operate. So maybe another time I'll be able to share on that. But just saying, I'm waking up. Peter Pan, the fairy. It's no longer the fairy. Used to be, but God's been waking me up and bringing me into the battle more and more. And I'm excited. I'm excited for this church. I'm excited to be a part of this church. I'm excited because we're seeing people healed. We're seeing people healed of cancer. We're seeing people healed of many, many, many things. Mental distress, demonic oppression. There's an authority, there's a fire here, the fire of God. And really, it's just a show. If the fire of God's not here, it's just a show. And I'm not into that. I'm into justice. I'm into things that are punu, that are real, that are alive. And God is alive. Jesus is alive. Revelation 1:17, the one with the woolly hair, the fire in his eyes. He's here today with his angels. He's here. And he's saying, Don't be afraid. It's me. I was once dead. Now I'm alive. I've been raised up. I'm living forever and more. I'm the Alpha and Omega, and I'm coming to restore. I can come back into the corridors of time. Time means nothing to me. I can come back to that time you were abused. I got abused. I got sexually abused when I was 4. And then God came back into the corridors of time. Jesus came back right down and healed me at that place of abuse. So I could forgive that perpetrator. I could forgive, He was a homosexual guy. Mike's confirmed. Doug, are you a homosexual?
No.
I've only got one interest in. In fact, I'll tell you something. I was down at North Tech, and they all these women were in administration, and they're dancing around with rainbow T-shirts and flowers. And what's happening? Oh, we're celebrating Transgender Day, Rainbow Day, Homosexual Day. Woo-hoo! At North Tech. What the heck? I'm here for a meeting. And what's going on? What? I said, look, I've got a big, deep issue. Wow, what's your issue? Well, I find it really difficult. It's something I've kept hidden for years, but am I on safe ground? Doug, you're on safe ground. So they're thinking I'm going to confess that I'm attracted to men. I said, look, I'm still sexually attracted to women. I'm just a queer guy. I'm and like, what? So I was on report for hate speech, and oh, we need to sort that out. Flip. Okay, so, all right, let's rise to our feet, maybe have a song. Hey, if you feel at any point that anything I spoke may have triggered in you, particularly that thing of being transformed, coming into being a deliverer, I want to be a deliverer. I want to be a savior. I want to be anointed to be a judge, a holy, righteous judge, to be able to go no in Jesus' name or yes. I want to move in the power of God. In Isaiah 10:27, the anointing breaks the yoke. Well, I want to move in the power and anointing that Jesus moved in. I want the fire of God on my life, in Jesus' name.